My guest at this time is Jeff Hunt. He is the director at the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. During this 2016 election year, most of the attention, of course, is on the presidential race, and the attention that isn't spent there is usually on Senate, House, or governor's races. But every election cycle, there are important ballot issues that impact various states around the country. And one of the states dealing with that this year is Colorado, where Proposition 106 calls for the legalization of physician-assisted suicide. And Jeff, thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I know you have a number of reasons of why you believe this is a terrible idea. What's your nutshell message to Colorado voters?
So we're the think tank, the Centennial Institute, housed at Colorado Christian University. And so we look at a lot of these issues very closely on behalf of voters in Colorado. And doctor-assisted suicide is a very, very, very bad deal for Colorado. In almost every case where doctor-assisted suicide is legal, it moves from what is generally called a right to die to a duty to die. So, you know, the argument is often made that this is a personal decision, allow me to make this decision, or I want somebody else that I may not make it, but some, I don't want to say that somebody else can't make this decision. They think it's a personal decision, but in every case where this is legalized, you are inviting government and you're inviting insurance companies to get involved in this decision, and it is a very, very bad deal.
We just did a story on the impact of nearly 15 years of legalized euthanasia in Belgium. Of course, euthanasia is where the doctor actually administers the drug combination that will kill the patient. Physician-assisted suicide is the physician prescribing the drugs that the patient would then take to take their own lives. So there is a difference. But states like Washington and Oregon, Vermont, and so forth have already legalized this. So what have we seen from those states that would foreshadow what would come to Colorado?
Yes, great, great question. So the biggest problem that you have in a lot of these states is that there's almost zero oversight of the process. Doctors doing doctor-assisted suicide are the only ones reporting. And those reports are then being reviewed by the Department of Health. So there is almost zero independent oversight of what's happening. And so a lot of people will say, well, you know, you don't hear a ton of horror stories coming out of Oregon or Washington or California. That's because there's no mechanism by which to actually review what's happening. Because the only people that are reporting are the doctors doing it themselves. And so the lack of oversight is extremely problematic. The other thing that's deeply concerning is what we've seen it happen in Oregon is the state-based Medicaid system get involved with end-of-life decisions. So they would send letters to terminally ill cancer patients saying, we're not going to pay the $4,000 per month required for you to stay alive, but we'll pay the $100 for you to kill yourself. And so, like I said earlier, this is often sold as an independent kind of personal decision. It is definitely not that. You're inviting government to now actually get involved with your end-of-life decisions. And that should be deeply concerning to everybody. This legalizing doctor-assisted suicide affects everybody, not just the people that want to be involved with those decisions at the end of their lives.
We're speaking with Jeff Hunt of the Centennial Institute. He's the director there. And Jeff, in your list of eight reasons why voters should reject physician-assisted suicide, number three is one I think that a lot of people will find surprising. It says depression and mental health reasons, not pain relief, are significant motivators in requests for physician-assisted suicide, because oftentimes we hear that it's people who get in a situation, they're terminal, and even the palliative care sometimes can't alleviate the excruciating pain or the anguish they're going through in the final stages of life, and that's why they ought to have this option. What does the research actually show?
Yeah, great question, Greg. And what the research actually shows is that most people that choose doctor-assisted suicide do it out of depression, or they do it because they're afraid of their lack of mobility, their kind of quality of life that's going to happen. And so what's actually happened in Europe is you have mobile death vans. I mean, this is, guys, we're not trying to scare you on this. This is what actually is happening in Amsterdam. They have mobile death vans, and they'll roll on up next to your house, and people are killing themselves when they're 28, 29 years old because they just had a relationship that ended, because they're depressed about job security. They're doing this out of and motivated out of depression more than anything else. And if you talk to people who are experts in depression, depression is almost always temporary. It can be treated. It can be worked through with therapists, with pastors, with a healthy community. And so the fact that people are willing to end their lives and to end all that's possible for them because of a few months of depression is just terrible. And that's what this bill, that's what this law actually results in, is not, you know, people in extreme pain ending their lives, but on the most part, people doing so because they're depressed.
So you don't even need to be depressed about a diagnosis. It could be a perfectly healthy person physically who's dealing with depression or some sort of mental illness.
Yeah, and that's what we've seen in Europe. The laws in Colorado and then as well as the West Coast, Oregon, Washington, California, do require that the person be diagnosed as terminal with less than 6 months to live. That's problematic in itself because Harvard has found that about 20% of those diagnoses are wrong. So one in five of those people will outlive that 6 months. What they're trying to do is they're trying to establish in law a right to die. And when that gets established, it quickly moves to people that want to die because they're suicidal or, you know, because of other reasons. And they start to roll back those limits that you have to be terminally ill. It'll go, they'll say, you know, you have to be terminally ill for 6 months, then we'll move it to a year, then they kind of move it to 2 years, and then they just go to where Europe's gone, which is since you have a right to die, you can do this at any moment, at any time.
You explained a little bit earlier why it's incorrect to say this is about giving patients a choice, because ultimately the government gets involved and provides major incentives for people to take their own lives. But in general, what do you say to the argument that this is different than abortion because the unborn child, for example, doesn't have a say in this? In some cases, at least in physician-assisted suicide, if not many cases, the patient perhaps does have a voice. So explain why they shouldn't have the right to take their own life.
And that's understandable. I absolutely understand that argument. The problem is that it's not just about the individual, and this gets into an entire movement that starts to really threaten the disabled community and the elderly community. So if you look at most of the opponents to doctor-assisted suicide, they're not healthy people that are strong. If you look at the organizations that are trying to stop this, it is primarily led by the disabled community, because they understand what this is creating in the law. This is creating an entire classification of people that can be killed or choose to kill themselves as a result of this legislation. And like I said, where we've seen this go in the last 20 years in Europe is that it moves very quickly from a right to die to a duty to die. Our former governor, Dick Lamb, said back in the 80s, people need to understand that they're no longer worthy to be in this world, that they're worthless, and that they need to go, and they have a duty to die. And that is terrifying. It should be absolutely terrifying to our friends in the disabled community, and rightfully so. That we're starting to create hierarchies within our class, within our society, where we're judging people's worth by how they're willing, able to contribute back to society, and so it's highly problematic, especially for the disabled community.
And finally, Jeff, what is the read right now on how this is likely to fare in Colorado? Are there any polls out at this point? And in a state where there's obviously somewhat of a libertarian streak since marijuana use was legalized not too long ago, are you facing an uphill climb here?
We are, Greg. It is the libertarian side of this argument is very strong, right? So you have people that go, you know, I may not choose this for myself, but I don't want to limit the choice for my neighbor, or the idea that I should be able to choose when I want to die, that type of thing. And so we have a we do have an uphill battle. We have to demonstrate to people that this that those folks that are really suffering, that are going through a hard time, which we've all had family members that have done. I've had very close family members that have gone through excruciating pain in their final weeks. In fact, my mentor, the former president of Colorado Christian University, had a very painful last few weeks of his life. You see that, and you understand that you don't want people to suffer. But this is not the solution to that. We should be investing in great palliative care and good hospice care, because doctor-assisted suicide brings with it a whole parade of terribles that we do not want in our society. We want to be able to respect the bonds between doctor and patient and honor the bonds between parents and children, not ushering people off because they're a burden, because they're hard upon us, that we have to take care of them. I remember when my grandmother was close to the end of her her life, I was a 17-year-old boy. I would take my lunch break from high school and drive over to the hospital and sit next to her. You think about what that does for a 17-year-old boy, to be able to learn, to be able to spend that time, that we are required to care for those in our midst, that nobody is a burden that's too great that we want to usher off this earth just because they might cost too much or they might require too much time of ours. And the breaking of that bond between children and parents is deeply problematic. So I understand the idea that people are in a tremendous amount of pain and we don't want that to happen. But focus in on good palliative care, good hospice care. Do not legalize doctor-assisted suicide, because it is a parade of terribles that we do not want to deal with as a society.
And finally, Jeff, where do you encourage folks to go for more information on Proposition 106?
You can go to votenoprop106.org to learn more about it. Votenoprop106.org. And we would love for people to help join the team on this issue, because this is going to be something that every state in the country is going to be facing in the next 20 years.
Votenoprop106.org. Jeff, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jeff Hunt is the director of the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.